I forgot about that hymn, John. It's perfect. Perfect. Go back to John, Joshua 3 now with me. Joshua 3. This scripture and this message were given to me after I heard some bad news. And it was really good news to me. The bad news wasn't so bad after all. After I read this and heard this for myself. Brother Scott Richardson used to say that. He said, I haven't heard any real bad news since I heard the good news. The gospel. Thought of several titles. Bearing up the ark. Or, when you see the ark, go after it. Or, a people on the brink. Or, on Jordan's stormy banks. Or, walking through on dry ground. But I chose this one. All passed clean over. Joshua, his name means Savior. The New Testament word name is Jesus. Joshua represents the Lord Jesus Christ, as most of you know. The ark represents Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified. Most of you know that. John prayed in his prayer about the Old Testament types. And our Lord said this, they are they, Scripture, that testify of me. The whole Old Testament are stories and pictures and types and symbols and emblems and shadows, the Scripture says, of Christ. The whole Old Testament says, someone's coming. God manifest in the flesh. The Savior, the Redeemer, the Lord our righteousness. The Gospels say, He's here. And the Epistles and the Revelation say, He's coming again. The whole Bible testifies of Christ. And this story, oh my, what a picture of Christ. The ark, here we are, here we go again. The ark is the gospel of Christ. The ark was designed by God. You know, the box, it was a wooden box covered with gold. It's a picture of Christ, His humanity and His divinity. Christ, God, manifest in the flesh. The ark was purposed by God. The only way to worship God, that's what Christ said. I am the way. There was only one way to approach the God of Israel. That's by the ark. Christ said, I am the way, the truth. The ark had a mercy seat on it. That ark was for one chief purpose. To pour blood on it. When the lamb was slain, God said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He said to the high priest, take this blood of a lamb and go into the Holy of Holies and pour that blood over that mercy seat that covers this ark. Inside the ark is the Word of God, the law of God. So everybody's broken it. And the soul that sinneth must surely die. But when I see the blood, it will cover their sins. I'll pass over their sin. They're forgiven. Pardoned completely by the blood. That's Christ. He is the ark. He is the high priest. He's the tabernacle. He's the blood. He's the lamb. He's the mercy seat. He's all these things. The ark. I could go on for 2 hours on the ark. The ark is the gospel of Christ. There's no worship without it, no salvation without it, no crossing over Jordan without it, no coming to God without it, no escape from sin without it, no entrance into glory. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is salvation. The River Jordan here in this story represents several things. The River Jordan represents this present world. God calls it this present evil world. The River Jordan represents sin that separates us from God. Muddy, filthy. The River Jordan represents the wrath of God, raging, that threatens to destroy all the Israelites. You can't cross it. You can't swim it. You can't get over it. You can't get through it. But one way. Joshua and the ark. Christ and Him crucified. All right, look at verse 1. Joshua rose early in the morning. And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel. And they lodged there before they passed over. I hope the Lord will give you attentive minds and receptive hearts. This is such a blessing. Joshua and his people, they all lodged there in tents. Verse 14, I believe it is, says they removed their tents and they were left. They all dwelled in tents, Joshua and his people, before they passed over. Before they came to the promised land, they dwelled in tents. Hebrews 2 says, "For as much then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." Christ took a body, a tent, a dwelling place, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death. He tabernacled among us, the Scripture said. "A body hast thou prepared me for the suffering of death." Tents. We dwell in tents. This body that we live in is a temporary dwelling place. Have you ever stayed in a tent? Anybody? Most of you have. Is it a nice place? Is it comfortable? Is it without suffering? Is it a strong place? Will it last? I'm not going to tell you the story about several of us men camping ought to, but a raging storm came through and almost literally washed us away. Didn't it, Wesley? A tent is a temporary dwelling. It's a weak place. It's full of hardships, hot, cold. And all of God's people dwell in this temporary tabernacle. So did our Lord. He came down here and tabernacled among us, lived as we live. Like Abraham, it says, Abraham dwelled in tents with Isaac and Jacob all their days. Traveled around in tents. A lot of hardship, a lot of labor, wasn't it? So did our Lord, and He knows our frame. That was a blessing to me. Joshua dwelled in a tent with them. He didn't have to. He's the king. No, they're sojourning. They're passing over. They have here no continuing place. Christ came down here temporarily, and we're here temporarily. He came to dwell among us and came to tell us, "We're crossing over. I've come to get you." Verse 14 says, "When they removed their tents," that's when they removed from their tents, it's time. As soon as we laid Brother John's tent, we folded up his tent, didn't we? Brother John Micah folded up his tent. Where'd he go? Crossed over. How? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. One way. This corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And when it does, we'll say, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? O river, why was I afraid of you?" And it all started when Joshua arose. Verse 1, Joshua arose early. And the command came. Verse 7, when he did, the command came. Verse 7, to Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel." Are you reading this with me? You could preach this, couldn't you? I'm just reading it. Soon as Joshua arose, the command came from God saying, Joshua, I'm going to magnify you before all Israel, and all Israel's going to know that I'm with you. And if they're with you, they're crossing over. When Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again, Scripture says we're going with Him. Going over with Him. Because Christ died, was buried, rose again. Paul wrote that in 1 Corinthians. He said, I gave you the gospel concerning Christ, how He died for our sins according to the Scripture. And it says, let me turn there and read just a portion for you. It says, Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. In Adam all die, but in Christ they'll all be made alive, and every man in His order. Christ first. He went first. And everybody's coming after Him. Coming after Him. But first, every child of Israel got to go through the Jordan. Got to cross through. And as I said, these waters represent several things. They represent our sins that separate us from God. They separate the children from the promised land. Something's got to be done about our sins. Somebody's got to gather our sins as a heap. Put them all together. Remove them far from us. And not let one be upon us till we get to a holy God. Somebody's got to do that. There's only one person that can and does. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin. He's got to do something about it. Sin represents the wrath of God. I mean, the river. The river represents the wrath of God because of sin. This water, Jordan, verse 15, says the banks overflowed, all His banks, all the time of harvest. Raging, stormy, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand. We're going to close with that hymn. Overflowing. Scripture talks about when the overflowing scourge of God's wrath comes through. It's going to cover somebody, like the first flood. But He said to His people, with Christ, in Christ, and Him crucified, it'll not come nigh you. The wrath of God against this world. Sin and this world threatens to destroy us and overcome us. It drowns many. Not just actual committal of sins, but Scripture talks about riches. And this world, the things of the world, overcome many. There's one way through. Christ and Him crucified. The muddy Jordan. That we always call it the muddy Jordan, don't we? Because it was always muddy. That story of the eunuch, Naaman the leper. The story of Naaman the leper and Elijah telling him to go down and dip in the Jordan. And he balked at that. I don't want to get in that muddy Jordan. There are rivers of far, far. And Damascus are greater, clean, nice. But no, he said, you're going to get down in that muddy water. Dip seven times until you're completely and utterly understand that you're a leper and you're filthy. Muddy Jordan. A raging river. A raging river, you know, a pig river. We lived on the pig river. And you see it when it rains, when the rain comes down and the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and sin. And it dredges up. When that rain and that river starts raging, it dredges up muck and mire, doesn't it, and filth. And the law, Scripture says, is the strength of sin. And it just dredges up sin and rebellion in man. That raging river was turbulent waters and troubled waters, troubled waters. And there's no bridge over this. And we go through this world, man, Job wrote, Job 14:1, he says, man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Why is that? In trouble with God. Because of sin. turbulent waters, this world that we go through, and full of troubles from within, troubles from without, the filth of sin, violence in the world. How can we get through this? How are we going to make it through this? How are we going to get over this? How are we going to get through this sinful world without being overcome by it? How are we going to make it to God someday? We can't swim. Can't afford it. One way. When you see the ark, go after it. That ark gone before you. One way. Verse 3, that's what it said. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Oh my. When you see the ark, when you see Christ, when you hear the gospel, that the priests, those raised up by the Lord to preach Christ, Christ said, and this was Joshua's command to the priests, a short command. He said, take up the ark and go before the people. That's all Joshua said to the priests. He told the people, you look out from every one of your tribes, each tribe, you get a man, you call a man, and here's what he's to do. Take up the ark and go before you. That's it? Yes. Because you need to see the ark. That's what their purpose is. That's what they're to do. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I'll draw my people. Preach Christ and Him crucified. Don't play games. Don't start committees and programs and build gymnasiums and all of that. We've got enough of those. We've got one thing to do, one thing needful. Preach Christ, the remedy for sin, the only way to cross over. And if people just look to Him, they're going over. They'll not be overcome. When you see the ark, if you ever hear the gospel, wherever you live, if it's not there, pick up, move, and you go after it. You go where it is. Because this is the one way. You, your spouse, your children are going to make it to the promised land. Christ. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Christ came, Christ crucified, and He says to us, come unto me, all labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll take you over. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm God, there is none else. I'm a just God and a Savior. Christ and Him crucified. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will pass over. You have God's word on. Verse 4, this is interesting. It says, the ark shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. A space, a distance. Because he went on to say that you'll know the way. It's a long way off, but this way you'll know the way you must go. But you've not passed this way before. You've not passed this way before. At this time, the actual time was 1450 B.C. Okay, 1,450 years before Christ came. There's not a clearer picture of Christ in the Bible, is there? 1,450, afar off. This was written afar off. Are you with me? Hebrews 12 says that we have this great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 11. It says all these Old Testament saints from Abel, from Adam to Zerubbabel, heard the promise and saw Christ coming afar off, and they believed. They saw it from afar, but they believed. They say, same way. At a distance. And they all could see it. They all clearly saw it. Abel, from Abel, the first man to the lad. All could see. There's only one way, clearly seen. The way was paved clearly. And also, this also means don't be too familiar with this ark. Don't touch it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. One man in Scripture touched the ark. Uzzah. You remember that? One man. The high priests were to get the ark and hold it on their shoulder. They were not to put their hands on it. It always had these staves underneath it, and they would pick these staves up and they put them on their shoulders and bear this burden of the ark on their shoulder. But don't touch it. It's a picture of the gospel, how that God doesn't need your help. They weren't helping the ark over. The ark was getting them over, he said. And one man in the Scripture, the cart, it was on a cart. You remember that? And that's another story. But the ark was on a cart. It wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be on the priest's shoulder. And they put it on an ark. Wrong. All wrong. And the ark stumbled, and one man put his hand on that ark. Oh, it needs our help. God needs my help. He can't do anything without me. And God killed him right there. Killed him right there. To show him, you don't help God in salvation. No, sir. It's salvation's of the Lord. They got over because of Joshua and the ark, and we're going to go over because Christ died. One way. Keep it at a distance. Don't be too familiar. You've never been this way before. I like this. He said, you've never been this way. You don't know the way. Let's show you the way. The ark's going to go before you, and you're going to see the way. You don't know where you're going. Joshua does. Didn't Christ? Those disciples followed our Lord everywhere. They had no clue where he was going. Didn't need to. If they keep their eyes on him, it's okay. And we've never been to God. We've never been through the muddy Jordan either. And Christ shows us the way. He is the way. And all of us pass through ways that we've never been. Tomorrow, today, if we live long enough, something may happen. That we've never been through before. Right? Everyone in here has gone through waters like that. A day happened that threatened to overthrow you. You've never been this way before. You've never been through this water before. And you can't do it. But you keep your eyes on that ark, on Joshua, and you get through. And every one of us, this river represents, as you might know, death. And nobody in here, we've seen others, but nobody in here has actually set our foot in that water yet. But God said, you'll all cross over. And he gave this command to the priest, whom he set apart, take up the ark and pass over before the people. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And he commanded them that bear the ark. Verse 8. When you come to the brink of the water of Jordan, just stand still. Stand still. Does that sound familiar? Same God, same people, Israel, same way over. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. Stand on the rock. Stand firm. The priests are going to step their foot in that water. And they took up the ark. So they did. Every man whom God calls, every true God called preacher does one thing. And that's a fact. Only the priest did one thing, didn't it? One thing. Held up that ark. That's it. And every man called of God to preach does one thing. That's how you know him. He preaches Christ. Every time. Hold up. Because we've got people ready to go into the Jordan. Going through the Jordan. And he said, bear up the ark. Now look at the command to the people. They got to the brink of that raging river. And you see this? This is a true story. True story. And you know that there were 601,730 adults. That's over 20. 601, they're numbered. Numbers 26, they're all numbered. 601,730, exactly. Over 20. Not counting children, which probably the whole thing amounted to about 2 million people or more. Now here's one way, reason he said, hold it afar off. Hold it out there where everybody can see it. There are people in the back, they need to see it. There's little ones, can't see over the people in front of them. Hold it up high. Lift it up. They all need to see this thing. All need to see Christ. All to save one way. Well, they came. Here they are. 2 million people. Sergeant says 2 million strong. No, they're all weak. They're all scared to death. They all came to the brink of the River Jordan. It's overflowing its banks. It's turbulent, raging, stormy. Waters overflowing, raging river, turbulent waters, and they're all standing at the brink of this river, and God said, you're going to cross over. And to a man, to a woman, they can't see how. And so what happened? Joshua comforts the people. Look at verse 9. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither. Come here. Come unto me. You afraid? Come here. Let me tell you the words of the Lord. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Not what might. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes here of what Joshua said. It's all shalls and wills here. It's all promises. And all the promises of God in Christ are what? Yea and amen to the glory of God. Joshua said in verse 10, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, all your enemies that are pursuing you. He's going to, without fail, put them away. This is how you'll know. Didn't Christ say, sin shall not have dominion over you. I am come to put away your sin by the sacrifice of my sin. And he will without fail. He shall not fail, Isaiah wrote. Without fail, he's going to put away the sins of God's people. Verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. I'm going before you, Christ said. I'm going to be made sin for you. I'm going to go to the cross and bear your sins in my body on the tree. I'm going to put away your sins. I'm going to go into the grave. And I'm coming out 3 days later, just like when Joshua, 3 days afterward. 3 days later, I'm coming out of that grave and you're coming with me. I'm going back to the Father and you're coming with me. And I shall do this without fail. And I will put away your sins. They'll stand like a heap. All of them. Put them away. What happened? Verse 14, here they are. They're standing at the brink of that raging river. In verse 14, it came to pass. Just like Joshua said, just like God promised. The people, when they were moved from their tents, they folded up this tent to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the Lord. And verse 15, as they that bear the Ark were come unto the Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water. Jordan's always overflowing. When does it overflow? Harvest time. This was harvest time, he said. As soon as they put their feet in the water with that ark on their shoulders, it says, verse 16, the waters from above stood as a heap. The wrath of God was assuaged. When Christ was crucified, hanging on that cross, our great high priest, when they put those nails in his feet, ready, when Christ was on that cross, he was going through the river of death. He was being made sin for us, plunged and drowning in sin like the River Jordan for us. But as soon as they put those nails in his feet, as soon as Christ was hung on that cross, he said, a little while later, he said, "It's finished. Sins put away. I've got them all. God got them all like a heap and put them on a cry and separated them from us." As far as I said, from Adam, we look at verse 16, from Adam to Zarephath. From Adam, Adam's sin, to whoever the last child of God's sin is. When Christ was crucified, water parted. No wrath. No judgment. No sin. Buddy, we're going over. The gulf that was between us, sins that separated, removed. The wrath of God, assuaged. Death? No, not death. Just going to walk right into glory. Just like Enoch. Going to just walk right into glory. On dry ground. Look at it. So it says in verse 16 that those that came down toward the sea of the plain, the salt sea failed or cut off. People passed over right against Jericho. It says, "He shall not fail." But sin won't have dominion over you, because he shall not fail. Our Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. All the promises. Now, God gave all these promises to all of them. And they came to this water, and they were all scared to death. Every one of them. There wasn't a man that wasn't afraid of this raging river. And if we're honest, every person in here will say that we're afraid to die. We're afraid to die. The strongest believer in here at times thinks, "I'm afraid that my sins are going to drown me. I'm afraid that this world's going to overcome me. I'm afraid. Lord, David said, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Lord, you said, and you came, and you died, and you were buried, and you rose again. I believe you." Brother David's article, "Help my unbelief. And when I come to that river Jordan, This is the culmination of this whole story. Are you with me? Now, every one of us coming today, it's our day. And God says it's time. Known unto God for all His work from the beginning, our bounds are set, we cannot pass. Pointed unto us, wants to die. And all of us are afraid of it. If you're not honest, if you don't say that. And the Scripture says that Christ came to deliver them who all their lifetime were afraid of death. How? He went through it. Like this ark. He went through it. And it came out. And look at verse 17. It says, "The priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as soon as they set their foot in that raging river with that ark on their shoulders, it became dry ground. Solid rock. Not mud. Dry ground. And our Lord went into that grave and came out. Was made sin for us, and he came out and he said, 'It's gone. Sin's gone. There's no wrath for you. There's no judgment for you. You trust me.' And I went into the grave, and it's not death at all. It's the way to pass over. It's not the end. It's the entrance into the promised land. And Christ set foot in that grave, and he came out 3 days later to show us that it's just the passing over. And it came to pass. The priest, I like this, says priest, they stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, right in the middle of it. You know, all of us are called kings and priests unto the Lord. You know that? Revelation 1 says, unto him that has made us kings and priests. We're all bearing up the ark. All of God's people. That's our purpose, isn't it? Kings and priests unto God. All right? And every single priest, every single believer I've known, come to that Jordan. Come to that river. You're scared to death. You say, you're scared to death until I put you. When the Lord says, get in. The Lord pushes you, as it were, leads you. Come on, come on, it's all right. And you put your feet in. It's dry ground. Nothing to be afraid of. Can't you see this? The first, they didn't go all together. They got 2 million people. They might have gone one at a time. All right, here's Abel walks in. He steps in that on that waters part. He steps in. It's okay. And they're holding this ark up, you see. Everybody see it? They're watching it go over. The ark is above the whole land. And they're all looking. And Abel's hollering, I'm telling you, it's okay. And to the last man, it's okay. And everybody's got to go through it. And Abraham went through it and he told Isaac, it's okay, son. And Joe went through it. And he says, it's solid rock, boys. Don't be afraid, son. Jacob, get in the water. And look at this. Until all the Israelites passed over. All of them. Not one of them failed to cross over. The Israelites are God's people. God's chosen. The ark was for them. The blood was shed for them. And not one of them was left behind. And they all, when they got in that Jordan, the waters parted. The ground was solid. And I... What do you reckon they were talking about crossing over? Sure wasn't that place. And they all passed, look at this, clean over. Clean over. We get these old country sayings. They're not ignorant mountain talk. It's Bible. Say, he's clean gone. He went clean over. That's what we say in it. That's Bible. Every one of God's people will go clean over. That means all the way there, and it means you're going to be clean when you get there. No mud. They didn't have any mud on their shoes. That's a picture of sin, people. If one sin is found on us, one sin, God can't have us into His holy heaven. Where'd they go? The ark. Christ, they crucified. They all passed clean over. What did they do? What did any of them do to get over? Nothing but look to that ark. Well, who got them over? Joshua. Well, that's the gospel as clear as I can make it. All that, look unto me, Christ said, and be ye saved. You'll all pass clean over. Clean over. All right, we're going to sing in closing that song, On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand. number, what number? 517. 517. We'll stand as we sing a couple of verses. 517.